darkness has ceased. The storm has passed and at last I have peace. I simply called out, out of the rain, hoping to feel the warm sunshine again. Now gray skies are gone, they're bright and blue. It can happen to you.
Let love touch your life and you will see. Hello. Glad to have you here tonight. We're the 17th of February, and here we are live again on a Friday night, ready to worship God and honor God and glorify Him and see what He would do today as we lift Him up and magnify Jesus, for it's all about Him. That's what we're here for, Jesus, not for anything else. It's going to lift Him up here. So, yeah, welcome. Glad to have you listening and here. And we will go ahead and open up with a little bit of news here tonight. Praise God. You know, one exciting thing going on is the Asbury University, which is having a revival going on 24/7. And the students say they'll keep it going as long as the Holy Spirit tells them to do it. And people are starting to arrive from all over the country. This is the 10th day. And you know, they say that you get in that building and you just feel the presence of God. It's just a strong sense of His presence. And that's awesome. Just feel the presence of God. Just going into that building and people are lined up in the weather in the 20s out there outside to get in. Just to get in there. Wow. So, yeah, we hope that this will just continue to spread to other places and that God will have a move in this country and an awakening, because that's what America needs, a repentance and an awakening and a confessing of their sin and this desiring God above all and putting Him above all the, personal attention and trying to be somebody, because it's not about us. It's about Jesus and getting Him glorified, and He's the soon coming King, and we need to get ready to see the King. Praise God. And the people are not ready in this country, so hopefully there'll be a real sense of honor and respect for God in this. So anyway, we'll move on with some news here though as we get into tonight's time together. Idaho parents came in and took up all the seats at a drag queen story hour at the library, at a local library, and refused to leave when they were ordered to do so that the children could take the seats. But library staff was shocked that so many came and were resolute and sent a message, a strong message, against this foolishness that's being forced on children in these places that are foolish parents who don't have any sense let their children go in to see that kind of garbage. And anyway, thank God for the parents standing up there and taking all the seats. There was no room for children. No children got in. Governor Kristi Noem signs a bill banning gender surgery for minors. South Dakota governor. She's a good governor from what I can tell. So, and has an honor and respect for God. Canada unhappy with New York City Mayor Eric Adams for sending them illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. Right? Eric had been sending busloads to Canada with taxpayer money, and Canada is saying stop it immediately. They don't want the illegals anyway either. And New York doesn't want them. And all these sanctuary cities are getting a little put out with them too, and that's because they weren't expecting this many. Yeah, they're just being sanctuary cities trying to be cool, but there's nothing cool about it. In fact, in the absence of adequate federal enforcement, the Texas Border Initiative, which is heavily criticized by Democrats and the media, has apprehended thousands of illegal immigrants, including thousands of criminals, and seized millions of lethal doses of fentanyl, more than 348,000 illegals apprehended and 24,000 criminals arrested, and 361 million doses of fentanyl. Texas has also bussed more than 9,100 illegal aliens to District of Criminals since last April, and 5,200 to New York City and 1,500 to Chicago, these sanctuary cities, supposedly, and 890 to Philadelphia, calling it Operation Lone Star. Yeah, well, you know, someday we could get that border closed here in Jesus' name. Because, you know, I'm all for legal immigration, but I'm not for this illegal stuff and just opening the borders wide open for the destruction of our country, which is absolutely what some people want to do. Anyway, death toll in Turkey and Syria from the earthquake is now over 41,000. And they're just getting a small handful of people that are still alive being rescued from the rubble. Most are dead now that they're recovering. That's a tragic situation, isn't it? Yeah. 41,000. It's a lot of people. That's the size of small cities. Some not so small cities too, you know. U.S. government has been secretly tracking those who refuse the jab and are not COVID jabbed through their medical records, which are supposed to be private. Even those partially jabbed are being tracked through a previously unknown surveillance program. Huh. That's interesting, huh? A Yale professor suggests mass suicides for Japan's old people, and that has gained him celebrity status among Japan's young people, even appearing in an advertisement for an energy drink. That's right. Yosuke Marita, a Japanese man that's an assistant professor in Yale. Japan has the highest percentage of people over 65 in the world, and obviously they think they need to do something about it anyway. Anyway, Israel considered adding something that we take, that's not what I want to talk about. Yeah, I'm going the wrong way here. Bethel Church, Redding, California, baptized openly gay, queer, homosexual Disney celebrity Joshua Bassett, the 20-year-old star of Disney's High School Musical. He was baptized even though he's still a homosexual, and has shown no sign of real repentance at all. African children forced to eat worms and termites as part of the UK government-backed experiment. This is a practice pushed by environmentalists as a sustainable, sustainable diet choice. Really forcing bugs on these African children because, you know, they're just using them for their little experiment to see what it's going to do to them. That's not right. Not right at all, but, you know, they don't care about the children in Africa. They care about forcing their agenda on the population of the earth and doing their little experiments. It, you know, it's tragic how little value people have to certain other people, the so-called elite and the people who think they run things and who look down upon the average people of the earth that are not part of their, quote, club or whatever, their, club of darkness, club of destruction, club to destroy humanity and reduce the population of the world. That's their goal, and it's not right. But anyway, the Lord will deal with them, and judgment, vengeance is mine, he said. I will repay. So we'll let the Lord do it and trust that he will do it. And hallelujah. We'll see how that plays out, huh? Amen. Well, we're glad you're here today on the 17th, and the Lord bless you and minister to you tonight is our prayer. And we're just excited to share the word with you here just a few moments here as we just open up in prayer tonight and thank God for what he's doing and what he will do, and for his glorious might and power. So, Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty God, Father. We glorify your name here today. We lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up, Father God. We thank you for, Lord, your greatness and glory and salvation that you've given us so freely. Hallelujah. And we're thankful for you working in our lives, each one of us individually, Lord, in such a glorious and powerful way, Lord, that even when we're not always aware of your working, you are working in us because we belong to you. We've given you our lives, Father. They belong to you, and we're not our own. We've been bought with a price, the price that is so costly, that precious blood of Jesus, as he came and shed that blood for each one of us, Lord. We are thankful for that. We rejoice in such a great salvation that you purchased with such a great price, Father, for us, each one of us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we can just be in your presence here tonight. We can just be filled up and refreshed and renewed and empowered and strengthened spiritually and healed physically and delivered physically, Father, from demons, Lord, that desire our demise. Every one of us, they hate us with a passion, but, Lord, we don't like them either. The Bible commands us to hate evil, Lord. We do hate the evil that is in this world, the darkness and the devil and all of his little army of darkness. We hate those demons and devils because we hate evil as you do. And Lord, we don't want it to prevail. And in Jesus' name, we pray against it. We pray against the wickedness in government, those who would just destroy and sell out the country to the devil and darkness and death. We pray that you would bring them down, Father, in the name of Jesus, and you would be glorified in the country. And we pray for those who are wanting revival, all of us do, and renewal and a refreshing in this country and a turning to God. We pray that will take place, Father. We bind the enemy from stopping it or trying to block it or hinder it in any way, Lord. And we pray for those at Asbury to just continue to see the presence and outpouring of your spirit there, and that it will just spread and spread and spread and spread in Jesus' name, gloriously spread and keep spreading. Hallelujah. Until this nation is impacted and those that are wicked cry out for salvation too, or they suffer under the vengeance of our God and they were removed. That's right. As the scripture says, let their days be few and another take their office in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray according to your word, Father. And we give you the glory for it tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Father. You are good. And your mercy endures forever, Father. We thank you for this time that we have together here. We ask your power to be released in Jesus' name, delivered to be released, and the revelation knowledge and understanding to be released as we share the things of the Word here tonight. And we give you the glory for it in advance, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know what? I'm really tired of some people that I hear. I'm not the people themselves, but I'm just tired of hearing this. I've heard this for years, and I just want to set it straight biblically. You know, people get upset because we sing the same tune over and over. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, for instance, and we sing it over and over. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. You know, and they call that vain repetition. That is not vain repetition. At all, okay? There's nothing vain about it. Vain repetition is something that's in vain, that is just without purpose. But I want you to turn to Revelation 4:8, and we'll see what they're doing around the throne in heaven. It says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying the same thing over. That's not vain repetition. Holy, holy. Holy, Lord God Almighty, and they kept on. Okay? And they kept on day and night saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That is not vain repetition, but yet they're repeating themselves. And there is nothing wrong with us repeating the words of a song over and over. If we are worshiping God, that is not vain. In fact, the word says, let the high praises of God be in our mouth. They should be in our mouth continually. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. So don't tell me singing songs over and over and over again is vain repetition, not when you're worshiping God. We're just doing what they're doing 24/7 in heaven, even though they don't live in time up there, okay? But look at the 4 and 24 elders in verse 10 here. The 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crown before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. And they do that over and over. Okay, that's not vain repetition, folks. Okay, that's worship. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with us worshiping God repeatedly 24/7 if we can keep up with that. I mean, hallelujah. You know, blessed be the Lord God Almighty. I can say that over and over and over, and that is not a vain repetition. That is getting in the glory of God. That's getting in his presence. And, you know, I want to be in his presence. I want to be in the glory of God. I want to see his manifest presence. You know, that's one thing they're saying about that. Those meetings there, it's just a continual 24/7 meeting at Asbury. They go into that building and they can feel the tangible presence of God. That's the one thing people are noticing, tangible presence of God. Hallelujah. We need that, okay? So let's get into this word here tonight. Welcome, everybody. Glad to have y'all here. Those in the chat room, glad you're here. Lord bless you guys. Okay. All right. The anointing, truth and sin. That's the title. The anointing, truth and sin. Let's talk about it. Let's get into this. You know, we've got a lot of religion or churchianity going on that has said, well, if you want God, then you need to stop doing this, or you need to change your life, or you can't live the way you're living anymore and be godly, and so you have to change your ways to enter into his presence and be favored by God. Well, hey, if you could change your ways, a lot of people would have already done it. But see, if this were true, how many of us would qualify to enter into God's presence? If we had to first change our ways to come in, like religion would tell you. No. You know, there's a whole lot more revelation we need to learn about the true and loving nature of Father toward those of us who have received him. And it's time that we start getting that revelation more and more and more. Hallelujah. Let's go over to John chapter 1 and we start out here. You know, we need to get in his presence just like we are. He's the one who changes us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He's the one that can do what we can't do. If we could clean ourselves up to come into his presence, we would have done it. But we need a Savior. We need a deliverer. We need somebody who's got miracle work and supernatural power to manifest in our life. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, to as many as who did good works, is that what it says? Did he give power? As many as did good work, did he give power? As many as could straighten up their lives, did he give power? To as many of us who cleaned up their sins and got rid of their demons, did he give the power? Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says, folks. Oh, but it can't be that simple. We have to do something. Well, that's what, you know, humankind wants to do. They think they have to do something. And hey, if we could do something, we would have needed Jesus to come down and give his life as a sacrifice for our sins. Hey, but they say, well, it just can't be that simple. It just can't be that simple. It just can't be that simple. You know, and it isn't with most religious people or people that have those religious devils, many Christians like that. And to as many as received him, even those who simply believe on his name. So what is the basis for worship? Is it cleaning up our act? Is it getting rid of, you know, we could just get cleaned up and get rid of all these devils. No? Is it becoming a better person? Oh, if I could just be a better person, if I could just feel better about myself, I'm such a bad person. No, it doesn't say that. Is it getting a better image of yourself? If I could just see myself differently. No, it doesn't say that. None of the above. In fact, as many as received him and believed, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, the sons of God. Oh, hallelujah. You get that? Hallelujah. Right. Too simple for too many because they want to do something. They want to earn their way. It's not earnable. It's a gift of God. So if that were the basis for worship or finding God, where do we find him? Where should we worship him at? What do we do? Should we all run over to Asbury to try to find him? Is that what we need to do? John 4. Well, if you want to go, there's nothing wrong with going, but you're not doing that just to go find God. You should already have him within you, see. The woman said unto him, 4:19 of John, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saying to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, hallelujah, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is where you worship. Okay, you want to know where to worship? This is where we worship, in spirit and truth. This is the basis for worship. Okay, this is where we should worship. She was saying, where should we worship? And people are always looking for the right place to worship. Where is God? God, what church are you in? What meetings are you in? Where do I go to find a place to worship you? You know, people have all kinds of different doctrines and different theologies. And you could run here, run there. God, do I find you in this or do I find you in that or where do I find you? Well, if you don't find him here, you don't find him if you go to all the revivals or all the meetings out there. See, because many people are looking for God in all the wrong places, right? They're looking for God at the wrong places. Do we find him in a prophecy, a prophetic word? There's really only one place you find God. Where is that? You want to know? There's really only one place to worship God, and that place could be anywhere and in anyone. It can be. Notice I said can be. You want to know where that is? Okay. I'll tell you. The only place you can find him is in spirit. That's what the Bible said. In spirit. Look at John 4:23-24. We just read it. The hour coming and the now is when the worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is how it happened. And you are spirit, and that is where you worship him. Okay? Because when we get born again, we become spirit. In fact, if we weren't born again, we could not really worship God. Okay? Because the only way to worship him is in spirit, see? So to worship God, you got to become spiritual and in the spirit. And you are spirit, and that is where you worship him, in the spirit, see? And so you're looking for the place to worship. Now you could go to the revivals. You really press in. Now you could go to places because you worship him in the spirit. You worship him, and you could do it right there in your own house, though. Right? But, yeah, it's good to come together corporately and be with other believers. Galatians 5:16. As this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you do. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. Okay? We're not under the law. I'm not under the law. I don't want to go back under the law. I don't want to live like the Messianic and the Hebrew roots people do, trying to keep every jot and tittle of the law. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not under the law. I live free. I live in grace. I live by faith in grace and by grace through faith. Amen? So Here's the secret, folks. The only way that you could overcome Adam or your flesh is by understanding you're not Adam. You're not flesh, but you're spirit. That's your true identity. I'm living in my true identity. Are you living in your true identity? And as you learn how to enter your spirit, you find that your spirit is one with the Holy Spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Remember, he's one. I'm one with him. So I could worship him anywhere, at any time. And if you learn how to live and function from your spirit and release your spirit, you are walking in the spirit. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. He told him, you must be born again. I mean, listen, if you want to partake of God, you must be born again. It's just what Jesus even told him. You must be born again. You want to be a partaker. Look at John 3:5-7 here. Jesus said, truly, truly, I said to thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See? This is the reality of a relationship. He said, marvel not that I said that ye must be born again. Hallelujah. This is some powerful stuff here. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It cannot walk in the spirit. The flesh cannot walk in the spirit. It's only going to fulfill flesh and the fleshly desires and the lust of the flesh. It will do consistently. That's what flesh does. Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, meaning he had a load of demons in there just like all of us have. Okay? Paul had stuff in his flesh that he made him do what he didn't want to do, the things that were dwelling in him. See? And the only way is in the spirit, okay? A lot of people don't want to hear this sort of thing because it upsets them because they think they could live righteously on their own ability, and it's not possible, okay? Flesh can't walk in the spirit. Flesh walks in the flesh. I came out of my mother's womb in the flesh, right? That David said, in sin did my mother conceive me, right? So I was, but then I was born again, spirit, see? But I come out of my mother's womb in the flesh. A little later in life, I was born again, spirit, and now I'm spirit, and I could live in either one, flesh or spirit. I have a capability, dual citizenship. I have a citizenship that I don't like, the fleshly citizenship, right, which I have to crucify that. I have to cast the demons out of there. And then I have the capability of my new citizenship, a citizen of heaven, which is what I am right now, citizen of heaven. And I have the ability to walk in the spirit and be in the spirit and talk and be in the presence of God in the spirit. I have that capability now that the unbeliever doesn't have. And flesh cannot enter the spirit. It cannot enter the kingdom of God. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot, will not enter the kingdom of God. No matter how good it gets, no matter how you clean it up, no matter what you do to it, okay? It isn't getting in, okay, folks? Okay, you enter through spirit, and you have to become spirit before you can enter through the spirit. And you become spiritually capable when you get born again, even though a lot of people don't use that capability and rarely enter into that which is spiritual. And so we must worship, really worship, and I dare say many Christians have never really worshiped God because they've never entered into the spirit and really worshiped, because you worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a joining together of spirit and truth. See, not lies, but truth. And religion is full of lies, and it will pump you full of lies, and it'll tell you and try to present to you a substitute relationship with God. And it doesn't work, and you'll never be fulfilled. You'll never be satisfied with that kind of a religious relationship, and yet so many are partaking of that. But God is calling out people who want spirit and who are spirit to become spirit and live the spirit life. See, he said, that which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. See, when you're born again, you're born of spirit. Praise the Lord. Our true identity today is spirit. Hallelujah. This is a powerful, powerful word that we need to get it. You know, yet we're so comfortable in the world realm, aren't we? Christians are so comfortable in the flesh realm because they were born into the flesh, the realm of sin, right? That's the realm that my mother conceived me in, the realm of sin, and that's the world I come out into, in the realm of the world, the flesh and the devil, the unholy Trinity, right? We were born into that. Instead of the realm of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we weren't born into that. Even if we had Christian parents, we weren't born again when we came out of the womb. We might have been sanctified, set apart by because we had Christian parents, but we weren't saved. Everybody has to get saved. So don't tell me, well, I don't remember when I got saved. I just seem like I've always been saved. I've had people tell me that. I don't believe that. You had to have a point in time. You might not remember the exact day and time, but you had a point in time where you got born again. So don't tell me I've just always been a Christian. No, you haven't always been a Christian. You didn't come out of your mother's womb a Christian. You had to receive him. The Bible says, as many as have received him, gave he the ability to become sons of God. And if you never had a point in time where you received him, you're not saved. And you need to get born again. Okay? That's just the truth of the whole matter, see? But all of us came into this world, you know, carrying stuff, right? Because even though our parents may have been born again when you got birthed and you came into this world, if sin and sin your mother conceived you, if that is the case, then in generational curses and passed down evil spirits, my mother conceived me. Because all of us came into this world in sin, carrying curses of generational spirits and inherited sin spirits from our parents. So we repeat things unless the curses are broken. You know what I found out? We could get delivered all we want to, but it doesn't take the place of our child getting deliverance. They need to get their own deliverance. See, just because we get delivered doesn't mean our children don't need deliverance. They have to get their own deliverance too. Just like we had to get deliverance too. They had to get deliverance too, see? And so we all need deliverance. Thinking that, well, I'm the parent, I got delivered, you know, so my child won't have to suffer this curse. No, they have to have the curse broken over them too. It isn't automatically broken because it got broke over you. And the demons are cast out of you. They need to get their own deliverance, see? That's one thing I found in doing deliverance all these years. You know, I wish we could get it all done for our children too, but no. No, but as long as these spirits have an open door in the children, they will continue the curse in the children until the children come to the place where they want their own deliverance and they begin to get it. Now, we can sometimes help little children sometimes to be free of some things if they'll submit themselves to deliverance under their parents' authority. That's a little different, but other things, they're going to have to come for their own. Okay, and sometimes they just don't get rid of those things till they get old enough to really get out of agreement with those things. Okay, but anyway, that's a rabbit trail here. Let me get on. So people are repeating things until they're broken and the demons are cast out. In fact, until we're born again, we're going to walk in the dark. And we're going to live in the dark even if we have born-again parents. And then we get born again, praise the Lord. But now the potential to walk in the light is there because our spirit is alive once we get born again. And light is there, yet we all still live in a fleshly body and with a worldly, you know, worldly mind that has been poisoned by the world. Okay? And hey, we still get rid of that. No matter how long you've been a Christian, you're still dealing with the mind and still dealing with the world, okay? And so the mind has been programmed by the world system and by the devil, and the soul is the mind, will, and emotions, and it has demonic things that chain us up until deliverance can take place. And although many Christians never get delivered, why is that? Well, they don't believe a Christian could have a demon. One reason, I just heard somebody this week spouting off on one of the social medias, you know, saw him spouting off, a Christian can't have a demon. Christian can't have a demon. Yeah, I've heard that so many times. And, you know, we wish that were true, but, you know, life has proven that is not the case at all. And I've been casting them out for so many years now that you can never convince me that a Christian can't have a demon. And so, yeah, I encourage you to watch that new movie that's going to come out, Come Out in Jesus' Name, right? Coming out in March, right? So that's about deliverance. Deliverance people put it out. So praise God, you know. That'll be about how people need deliverance and get deliverance. Come out in Jesus' name. Yeah. And so other people have just never been taught that they have demons, right? And I remember we ruined a lady's trip to Israel. We told her that, you know, you have demons and you need deliverance. And that began to bother her. The whole time we were there, it began to bother her that she just never faced the fact. She's a Christian woman in ministry, and yet she never faced the fact that she has demons. And we told her, because she's talking about this, that, and other about herself, and said, you have demons. You know, you need deliverance. Well, that's hard for some people to take if they've never faced that before. I realize that. But you know what? It's the truth. And how many know that if you should know the truth, and when you know it, and you start believing and acting upon it, then it sets you free, man. It sets you free. But see, this is right where demons want a Christian. They want them thinking they don't have any demons and or ignorant about it. You know, ignorance is not bliss. It's not protection. You know, it's not going to protect you from having demons if you're ignorant about them being there. They're still going to be there because they have a right to be there, right, because you were born into a sinful world. You were born in sin. Uh-huh. So that's right where the devils want you. They even, you know, even though, you know, born again and lit up in their spirit, the demons still have much control in the soul and body because, you know, that person don't know what's going on. They don't realize they have demons. Curses, soul ties, generational family spirits, familiar spirits, and picked up spirits through open doors in life. And that can happen even, you know, no matter, you know, you're a Christian and you're walking with God, you could still pick up demons, okay? Even though you're born again, unless you close doors and keep them closed. Because, you know, you have so many opportunities in life to pick things up. It's good to do a demon cleanse ever so often, you know, to see what's come in, if anything, during this time you've been living. And after having gotten a lot of delivery, you're going to need to check yourself, right? Anyway, it'd be nice if we could just, you know, keep all the demons out, but life is not such. I mean, you yield to sin and the door swings open and in comes unwelcome travelers who want to set up house. And if one is ignorant and offers no resistance, well, the travelers are no longer travelers, but they're residents, right? You can call them illegal aliens, but no, they came in legally because you opened a door to them. They're not illegal aliens. You legally let them in, so they're there, see? And you need to become aware of your enemies and their many tactics that they use on you. For we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, the scripture says. So let's not be ignorant of our enemy. And then we need to learn to close the doors on them and cast out devils that are already in and keep out the new insurgents that would try to get in. Thank God that many people are waking up to the need of deliverance today. Now, I'm seeing that happening, and I'm glad to see that, but there's still a whole lot of Christians that are against deliverance, and they get all upset, bent out of shape because of it, because you know why, don't you? I mean, you know why they speak against it. It's because, of course, because of what's in them, right? Demons are going to really get real loud when they get confronted, and they'll say, oh, no, no, there's no demon, and that deliverance ministry, that's of the devil, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like the Calvary Chapel pastor who put out on his radio program a message called Deviled Hams. We were passing in the same city he was, that he attacked our church because we believed in deliverance, and he called this his message Deviled Ham. He just really just laid into our deliverance ministry and attacked the, you know, deliverance, that Christians don't have demons. Of course, Calvary Chapel is a non-denomination. They don't believe Christians can have demons. There might be an individual pastor here or there that believes it personally, but no, as a whole, they're a non-denominational denomination that does not believe a Christian can have a demon, and they attack those who do believe that. And then this pastor attacked us, and I tell you, he attacked the church, and you don't attack the ministry of deliverance, and not. He suffered later. The story is that he was abusing his wife and pushed her down the stairs and had to step down from his pastorate for a while. I don't know how long he was out. I said several years or some more. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. So it's not good to at least keep your mouth shut, right? Don't be attacking all the deliverance ministers. If you don't believe in it, keep it to yourself, right? Because, you know, it's a ministry that Jesus did. About, what, about a third of Jesus' ministry going around casting demons out all around the chosen people. So don't tell me Christians can't have demons. This was the church of the day, man. These were God's chosen people, and he was casting demons out of them. And as he went up, he said, in my name you shall cast out devils, and these signs will follow you, right? Those that believe, if you're a believer, they're going to follow you, and you're going to do it because it doesn't do any good to do it to unbelievers. The demon's coming right back anyway. They don't have any protection if you're casting them out of an unbeliever unless they get saved. Hey, if you're ready to get saved, I'll go ahead and cast the demons out of you, unbeliever. Right? Okay. Yeah. Okay, so hallelujah. We're going to have to do daily warfare, folks. Are you doing daily warfare? You got to keep yourself from the evil one's territory because they'll put you in their territory. And I'll tell you, one of the quickest ways to get into devil's territory is fear. That'll quickly put you in their backyard. It'll quickly, it'll get you in the devil's territory. You're giving into that spirit of fear, right? Oh, yeah. A lot of Christians are giving in to that spirit of fear, and they're in the devil's territory, and they wonder why they're having all the problems they're having. If you've been a fear-prone individual, you need to confess it as sin, folks, really. I'm telling you, if you're giving over to anxiety and fear and stress all the time, the Bible says fear not, what, 366 times in the Bible? Come on, right? Isn't that what it says? So if you've been a fear-prone individual, you need to confess it as sin. That's right, because it is a sin, because the Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and fear is not of faith, folks. Fear is not of faith, it's of the devil, because the Bible says God's not giving us the spirit of fear. Well, who has if God hasn't? Who has? I'm here to tell you who has. You know who has. The enemy is giving you that spirit of fear because you had an open door to take it, and you willingly took it in there. Unless you inherited it, you willingly took it in there. What does it say in Romans 14:23? And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. See, that's the scripture I just quoted you. And Jesus said, fear not, and that he did give you a spirit of fear. So quit taking the spirits of fear. Quit taking in the devil's emissaries, his fear agents. Okay? There is a need to confess your sin. You know, really, I think that's one thing, you know, that a lot of Christians will not do is come to a place where they're hate the evil that's going on and confess to God and cry out to God, Lord, I hate this evil. I just humble myself before you, and I confess it, that I have given myself over to sin. I've given myself over to evil. Sometimes that's necessary. I know the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin, but there's a time where a work needs to be done inside of a believer where he needs to, you know, get convicted of the condition of his life or her life and cry out to God, Lord, I've allowed myself to get in this condition. I've just not been right, Lord. I've just not been where I ought to be, you know, and confess that condition. Of course, the Lord cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Of course, his blood continually cleanses us from all sins of the believers. But listen, there's a place in our lives that we got to come into a place of hating the evil. See, that's one of the problems in the churches today, right? They don't hate the evil like they should, and therefore they're embracing the evil like Lauren Daigle and Amy Grant and these different Christian artists. There's a lot of filth in the Christian music industry, folks. And there's a lot of godly people, but there's also a lot of filthy people that haven't come to that place where they hate the sin in their lives, see? Where they come to hate the evil. God commands us to hate evil, so when are we going to come to the place of facing that evil and get rid of it, right? So there's a need to deal with that sin. and the sin of allowing fear to invade your life and be a dominant force in your life. You're living in sin if you're letting yourself worry all the time, letting yourself live in fear all the time, letting yourself live in high anxiety all the time and getting stressed out and having panic attacks. You're giving yourself over to spirits of fear. You're yielding to them continually. See? All of this is yielding to the spirits of fear. And that's wrong. See, what are you doing? See? That Satan uses fear as one of his main weapons. I mean, look at the governments of this world. What are they doing? What are they doing? What are they using right now to get people? I mean, people are still wearing masks. They're petrified with fear because they let that spirit take over their life during the pandemic, see? And they let that spirit come in and take over and control them, and they, you know, they still won't take off their mask because they're so afraid, see? And when you allow that fear to start getting in there, there's no end to it, folks. There's no end to it. It just goes on and on. And see, the government knows it works. And who's behind the governments of this world? See, Satan is the god of this world. So who's behind the governments of this world? Satan is. So what is he, what tactics are the people of the world who run the world using today? Fear, of course. Fear. See, because that's Satan's one of his strongest weapons, that pride. And, you know, it's just one of his most powerful weapons against his humanity. And so much of many people in the church's problems, they're rooted in fear and yielding to that. And I've talked to them for 40 years. I've been in pastoral ministry, and I've seen that spirit of fear work in Christians in every church I've pastored, see, all through time, you know, that I've been in ministry. And so fear that they're not good enough, or fear that they're not doing enough, or fear that they're going to lose their salvation, or fear of this, or fear of the future, or fear that God is displeased with them, or fear in their relationship with their children, fear their children won't love them anymore if they discipline them correctly, or fear that they're going to lose them if they don't give them everything that child wants. Well, you're just getting a spoiled child, right? That's what the Bible says. You know, you spare the rod, spoil the child. Right? You spare correction, you're going to spoil, you're going to ruin the child according to the Word of God. I mean, you just got to go by the Word. Right? Either believe the Word or don't believe it. You know, you can't just take out the portions that you want and just leave the rest. See, you're using a marked edition, right, with a lot of it marked out, right? Do you have one of those Bibles? With a lot of your Bible marked out because you're using a marked edition today? Right? Well, I don't use a marked edition except where I underline. I mark it up. I mark my Bible up a lot. And I like to underline things in my Bible. And if you can't underline stuff in your Bible, then you got the wrong kind of Bible. You need to get one that you can mark in and not mark out stuff either, okay? Hallelujah. All right. Man, I tell you, what are we doing? Entertaining the spirit of fear? Really? And so the pandemic is used to plant more fear in people. They're going to die. And now people took the vax out of the jab out of fear. And now they are dying. Okay. That's the statistic of 320 some thousand died already in the States from getting the jab, vaccinated people, according to Dr. McCullough. I mean, and what he found as the statistics. So fear that they're not good enough. A lot of people have that fear, that they're not good enough, fear that they're just never going to be. Well, you are good enough on your own. You're good by the blood of Jesus. You're good because you've become born again, and you've been given power to be sons of God, right? As many as received him. It's not that because whether you're good or bad. I don't want to look more about that in just a minute. But, yeah. For that. A lot of people think, I remember one was convinced that she committed the unpardonable sin, and her husband tried to convince her, and they brought her over for deliverance, and nothing we could say, no demons that she would let us cast out. You know, she just could not be convinced that she had not committed the unpardonable sin and she was going to hell. Born again Christian, the devil had been successful in putting fear in her that she had committed the unpardonable sin and was going to hell. And we talked to her, ministered, delivered to her, but she just wouldn't let go of those spirits, wouldn't let go of them. And, you know, we can do deliverance all day, but if you give the demons a legal right, they aren't going anywhere, okay? they're going to remain because they have legal grounds to stay there. They might get real uncomfortable, might leave for a little bit while you put the pressure on them, but they come right back the minute the person leaves the room, right, the room of deliverance. So you need to put on and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of who? The Holy Spirit, not your fruit. And that's how we know one another. We know them by their fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit, that we know that they have the Holy Spirit in them. That's how we're going to know they're our brothers or sisters. You should know them by their fruit. Well, what's the fruit we're talking about? We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Let's just go read them real quick. Galatians 5:22 says here, but the fruit of the Spirit, notice it's not the fruit of man, not the fruit of the flesh, but it's the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And notice that statement at the end. Against such there is no weapon against it. There is no law that will work against it. See? Satan has no weapon against the fruit of the Spirit. See? There is no law against that. There is nothing that can come against that. So this is a powerful, powerful thing, the fruit of the Spirit. Against such, there is no law that can stand against them or defeat them, because they are God manifesting, right? They are Jesus manifesting, the Holy Spirit manifesting. Demons can't defeat the fruits of God because he can't defeat God. They might defeat us, but they can't defeat God, okay? They might whoop up on a Christian and cause a Christian to backslide and slip away or turn on God, but they can't defeat the fruit of God. They can't defeat that. And these are part of the anointing within you, and we're going to talk about this anointing here, because put on Jesus. What do you put on when you put on Jesus? You put on the fruit of the Spirit. Because what are the fruit of the Spirit? They are the Spirit. They are God. Okay? And so we put him on. And we put on the fruit of the Spirit, and we shall know one another by the fruit of the Spirit. We shall know one another, you know, by our fruit. Yeah. So let's look, Romans 13:14. Read it. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Listen, you're not going to overcome that flesh until you put on Jesus, right? That's just what the word says. You're not going to overcome the flesh till you put on Jesus. The power to overcome the enemy is part of that is the fruit of the Spirit, temperance, right? Temperance is, you know, control by the power of the Spirit of God, self-control over that lust, over looking at that porn and masturbating or falling over into adultery or fornicating or over that greed for money, that money lust, you know, to put on the Lord Jesus, put on the fruit of the Spirit, see, and make not provision for the flesh. See, only through putting on Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit can you not make provision for the flesh. Do you see that? There's power there, folks. Tremendous power in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, you know, all of that. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, that's powerful. And we need to manifest the fruit. And these are the anointing within us. These are the anointings with us. Having these anointings in manifestation in us defeat the lust of the flesh, the lust to fear, the lust to live worldly, a worldly type of lifestyle. Can be broken and defeated by the fruits of the Spirit of God. Okay? And we all who are born again have the capability to walk in the fruit anointing. We just need to do it, right? We just need to do it. We have the capability to do it. Okay? But we just need to do it. Now, hear this too. I'll tell you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Okay? Did you hear that? In all churches. Now, all of us need to be walking this way. But here, That's not the one I want to use. But he that is joined to the Lord, it's 6:17. I was reading 7:17. Hey, okay. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Notice that. Important, isn't it? What does that mean? It's very simple. And see, the things of God are simple, but, you know, people and demons make it complicated. But because of our religious teaching, we haven't understood this. So if I've been born again, if I've been quickened by his spirit, which I have, and if you're born again, you are too, if you'll let that take place, then that simply means that my spirit and his spirit are one spirit. Isn't that what it said here? He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And because we're one spirit, then we're going to, next verse, flee fornication, right? We're going to be able to do that, right? If we live from the anointing in us, because God is that anointing in us, you know, you wonder what the anointing is. It's him, okay? All right? But we're going to talk about that some more here too, of course. But I've been quickened by a spirit, then that simply means my spirit, his spirit, they're one spirit joined together, one. So if I learn how to enter my spirit and I learn to speak from my spirit, then God can be manifesting himself from and in people, in me, in you, right? See, because we're speaking from our spirit. What's in our spirit? The Holy Spirit. The heart, it can sin because you can have sin in the heart, right? But the heart is not your spirit. Now, some cases in the Greek, if you look through the New Testament, you can see that, yeah, some places the heart can be referred to the spirit. But the heart is the connection point between the soul and the spirit, right? And a person can get bitter in their heart. They can allow certain things to get attached in their heart, the connection point between spirit. But in your spirit, no sin can live because the Holy Spirit will not live with sin. See? All right. So, as he manifests, we can easily defeat the devil manifesting too, you know. As when we allow Jesus to manifest, see, we can defeat the devil when he manifests, right? Like just laying hand on this one lady and keep applying the blood of Jesus on her head. She kept pushing her hands off her head, pushing her hands. The demons didn't want to have that blood. They didn't want to have the manifestation of the blood anointing, you know, to attack that demon. They couldn't take it. It was tormenting them. It was burning them. It was troubling them, see? So on the other hand, if I take my carnal nature, my flesh, my Adamic nature, and we clean it up, and I go to seminary, and learn homiletics and hermeneutics and theology of all kinds and begin to teach all that I've intellectually learned about God, but I'm dead and you're dead and you'll never have anything of real spiritual substance with just intellectual learning, right? That's right, head knowledge, intellectual learning. There's no spirit power in that, see? Okay, but we do need to learn, but we need to learn when it's quickened under the anointing, which I'll get to that in a minute, you know. We've had just too much of this kind of Christianity, too much of this intellectual Christianity of, you know, and some of the hardest people to get into the spirit are people that have to figure everything out intellectually. You know, I sometimes wonder if some of them are even born again because they're trying to figure God out and every little thing that they read in the Bible out intellectually and how it works and how this could be and how it can't be. And, you know, that could wear a person out really because it's not spirit. See? They're trying to do it with the carnal mind. And the carnal mind is at enmity with God, the Bible says. And so why would we want to function from something that's at enmity with God? Okay. So there's a lot of performance-based Christianity, doing it out of a place of performance. And so for a big part, we've had nothing more than 2,000 years of just dry theological teachings with no power to give you life. And like Paul said, I didn't come to you in word, but I came unto you in power. So the anointing brings power forth. See, remember and understand that flesh and blood, no matter how seemingly glorious or glorified, you know, it does not count in the things of God. See, because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom, see? Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. The Bible says that. So you're not going to partake of the things of the kingdom with flesh and blood. You do it spiritually. All the soulish prayers that people pray, no matter how lofty sounding, they mean nothing when it comes not from the Holy Spirit within your spirit. See? So when you find out that God loves you, really loves you, and you get a revelation of that, and that you can turn to him and enter into his presence, you know, whenever you want to, then that will bring you change in your life. I mean, you don't need to change to be good to change, okay? You just need God to change. A lot of people think, well, if I could just be better, if I could just try harder, if I could just do gooder, then God will change me. No, no, no. If you could change, you wouldn't need God. And so when God begins to arise in you in reality, all your old habits, your way of life, and the demons are going to begin to be exposed, and other things are going to begin to disappear little by little. And the more you fellowship with God in your, in our place of worship and enjoy him, the quicker you're going to see yourself change, see. He changes us from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what it says, we're changed even by the Spirit of the Lord. See, you walk in truth, and truth defeats the lies of the world and of religion, of which we've all embraced to some degree in our carnality and flesh-ruled nature, see, in the past. And even now, some Christians are doing it. Like Paul said, he said that in my flesh dwells no good thing. Abides, you know, lives, is attached to travelers who made homes there, right, and set up a stronghold there. These devils are going to have to be cast out. They're going to have to be forced in the name of Jesus to leave. To leave. However, you're going to have to renounce them. You know, this is important. I tell you, I don't hear a lot of Christians renouncing things either. When, you know, they may confess some sin, but they need to renounce some things. The word says there is a place for renouncing. Have you ever obeyed and renounced? Look at 2 Corinthians 4:2, and we'll just see a scripture for renouncing. It says here, 2 Corinthians 4:2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We've renounced the hidden things of the lie. The Satan, dishonesty, lies, right? Satan is the father of all lies. We need to renounce these things that we have embraced that are of the lie, that flow from the lie, the dishonest things, the things that are of the devil, things that are hidden away in you, the hidden things, notice it says. Demons hide, right? Demons hide away within you. You see that? Hidden things. Notice that the Greek word here for dishonesty is alsune, and it means shame, shameful things, things that you might be ashamed of, things of shame, such as sexual abuse or sexual sin, and other shameful things that you've been involved in throughout your lifetime, see? Right. The Bible says that the things that people do in secret. Yeah. Talks about things people do in secret. Shameful. Things of shame, such as demons or demons. You need to renounce those things. If you're going to get delivered from those things, renounce them. Do renunciation of those things. And then begin to keep worshiping God. And to worship him, you're going to have to put away all your other gods. They just had a big God worship Sunday of the Super Bowl, was it, right? People worshiping that Super Bowl in a sense, right? Maybe they didn't see themselves as worshiping it, but that is totally a worldly situation. And I don't watch it, and I'm not involved in it. But, you know, if you want to watch it, that's one thing, but don't let it become a god. Don't let sports become an idol, okay? Because it can be. Worry can become an idol, too. Oh, yeah, worry can be an idol. Stress can be an idol. Lust can be an idol. Anxiety can be an idol as well as being fear. You got to put away all these gods that have exalted themselves, these demon wannabe gods, and worship the one true God. See, when you give homage to these things, these spirits, then in a sense you're giving honor. And surely you don't see it as worship, but in a sense they're receiving it that way because you're doing homage to them and they're, you know, they're causing you to be afraid and controlled by them. See? You see what I'm saying? So now, you know where to worship and practice doing that then. Practice going spirit, going into the spirit, being in the spirit, living in the spirit, experiencing spirit life. Christianity produced a lot of people that, you know, have Christian people, and it's call themselves Christian, and it's certainly good to learn to be a good ethical, moral, you know, Christian and all, but you're much better off to be a godly type person than a bad person. But you know what? You have to understand that the tree of the Adamic nature is both good and evil. And there's nothing you could do to make that nature acceptable to God, right? So that your human personality, that carnal nature, can please God and enter into the kingdom of God. That cannot be done through the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It just cannot be done. All right, so you have to understand that. It's not about good and evil. Let me explain a little more about that here. So how can one be sure that they're following God's heart in a matter? How can you know how to act, whether to act or not to act? I want to share a way that maybe you've not thought of or have been taught before, but I believe it'll help you here because, you know, most of us who live our day-by-day Christian life according to the principle of right and wrong or good and evil, which that's wrong to live according to good and evil, based on outward code of conduct. And it's nice to be good and all, but listen, we got to live it based on spirit and life and the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the good of that tree. No, listen closely. When we go to do something, we need to stop acting according to right and wrong and good and evil and look to the anointing that God has placed within us. See, what's the anointing? Here an important key. If you get this, you will do not right or wrong, good or evil, but you'll do God. How many want to do God? That's right. You want to do God and what God's doing. Jesus said, I only do what my Father, you know, does, right? I only do what I see my Father doing. So we want to do God, right? How many of you want to do God? You will do truth because God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we do God, we're doing truth. And really, it's not a matter of doing good and evil. It's a matter of doing God and truth, see? And spirit, as we talked about, spirit, right? They that worship him, we have to worship him in the spirit. We're one spirit with the Lord. We want to do spirit. John 16:12. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. There are many things that we've not understood, folks. And we got to let him, the Holy Spirit, rise up in us and teach us a lot of things that we haven't been able to understand. Okay? That's what we need to let take place. I mean, we're all still learning. And whenever a person thinks he has a handle on God, God knows how to, you know, break that person's handle that they think they have on him, right? And release that person's handle. So the Spirit is going to guide us into not good or evil, right or wrong, but truth. See, and God. And if you're in truth, you're certainly not in evil, right? Because the devil is the father of lies. He's lies. He's full of it. But righteousness, for we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and he is truth, and he is life, and he is good, and every good and perfect gift comes down from above, and not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the good of God, and God is a good God. So here's the key. When you go to do something, you wait for the sense of the anointing rising up in you, or the sense of the anointing being quenched, the falling of that anointing. And if there is a positive response inside of you, if there's a rising of that anointing, if there's a peaceful anointing there, the anointing of peace, the inner life, the anointing of is saying, okay, you know, do it or go for it or say it or whatever. Yet if you sense a decrease of the anointing, if you sense an unrest in your spirit, if you sense a quenching, then you should stop right then and not go forward with it. Even if what you're about to do seems to be right to you in your mind, and also if it seems to be wrong to you to do in your mind. And the anointing rises up when you to do it, then you do it, right? You might not feel comfortable doing it, but the anointing is rising up to go in that direction, to do it. See? That's right. For instance, if somebody out on the street asks you for money, don't try to just figure it out. You know, oh, well, should I give or shouldn't give them the money? You know, don't think about it that way. Just think about, well, what is the inner anointing? What is the Holy Spirit saying? In other words, because the Holy Spirit is the anointing. God is the anointing, right? You get that. God is the anointing, and God will lead us and guide us. And if God is rising in us, then I'm going to give that guy some money or that gal some money. But if I sense a quenching or the anointing's not there for that, that's real simple. I'm not going to give it. I'm not going to do it, okay? Because God knows everything. We don't. But see, he knows it all. And so therefore, we can move with him very easily this way and not have to be all worried, would I do the right thing? Or did I not do the right thing? We all need to learn to trust our God-given inner guidance system, which is the anointing. See, I'm anointed of God. You're anointed of God. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're anointed of God. See? It's just maybe you're not using that anointing. Maybe you're not walking in that anointing right now. But if you are born again, you're anointed of God, and you need to step over into that anointing and let that anointing lead your life. See? Amen. And see, it's not as, oh, I got to hear a word or something. No, no, you just have a sense from the Spirit, see? And it doesn't mean you won't ever have a word, but I've only had an audible word from God twice in my life, where it was like somebody standing in a room speaking to me. Twice in my life that happened. Once was when he called me into the ministry. He said, John, I'm going to speak for you. I'm going to loose your tongue. You are going to speak for me. See, that was audible. I had to look around the room. Where did that voice come from? That was an audible voice, but it was God speaking audibly. That just doesn't happen too often to people. Okay? And so I'm just honored that it happened to me. But two times in my life where it was an audible voice. Now, I hear him in my spirit, and I've given prophetic words and things like that, but that's not the same as hearing a voice in the room with you, right? All right, so let's go over to 1 John 2, verse 27. 1 John 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. You need not any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. See, it's truth. It's no lie. See, the Holy Spirit is not going to bring you a lie. You're going to walk in truth. See, and that's what God called us to do, is to walk in truth, you know, and faith and truth. See, so, but notice here, Adam cannot teach us. No man can teach us. Adam can't guide us. It's the anointing which we receive that abides in us. See, that's if we're sitting in church, see? It's not that we don't need a preacher up there talking and speaking from their anointing, because it will speak to our anointing when the anointing of God is speaking through them. It'll speak to us, and the anointing in us will quicken something to us, and we'll say, wow, you know, that's the Lord speaking to me. You know, that's, I get that. See, we don't need a man to teach us. We don't need flesh to teach us. But what we need is the Spirit in, because the Bible says God has placed a fivefold ministry in the church, pastors, teachers, apostles, you know, evangelists and prophets and, you know, all of the, and teachers, right? All the different fivefold ministries, right? And so he put them, so he doesn't contradict himself. So some people have taken this verse of scripture and perverted it and said, well, I don't need any preachers in my life. I'm not going to listen to no preacher. The anointing in me will just tell me what he wants me to know. Now, that's not what that's saying at all. You're in rebellion. You're in rebellion. You're not interpreting scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, you're not hearing what this verse is really saying to you. See, because God uses other people, and it's really God speaking through them many times. See, and the Spirit of God is you, is what teaches you. See, and so, hallelujah. Anyway, you get that. And it's talking about our inner guidance system, the Holy Spirit, the anointing in us, see. And there are times when you go to do something or you will want something very badly. You'll set your will in motion to go do that very thing. And as you go to do it, you may get a sense that you shouldn't do it. A small sense, like that still small voice inside, or that anointing, you know, saying no, you know. It's a getting a quenching of that anointing. It's just, it's a recoiling from that and to let you know. And most Christians, they ignore that. Have you ever ignored that? I've ignored that. And I've done things that really was not the best thing to do in those situations, because I ignored that anointing in me was trying to direct me. And you have done the same thing. I'm sure at times you had a sense you shouldn't, and you did it anyway, or you sensed that you should and you didn't, and you saw the results either way, and you realized that God was trying to speak to you through the anointing in you, and you didn't get it, see, and you didn't respond to it, okay? You didn't respond to your inner guidance system. Now, it won't be, like I said, in a loud, audible voice, or even clearly said in plain English many times. It may just be a knowing from within, and it is right. It is correct. Why? Because the anointing, and the anointing is good. It's God, see? And God is correct, and he's trustworthy, and he's never wrong, okay? He's never wrong. You know, you may think that this is not God, but if it's really God, it's not wrong, okay? So, let's start finishing this up. We're running out of time here, and we've got so much more I want to share here, but don't have time to do that. But we all have, if we're born again, an inner voice that's going to lead us. We just have not been taught to use it and practice it and live in the Spirit. Therefore, often we don't have the peace, and we don't know why we are so troubled a lot of the time, because we haven't been tuning in. We haven't become living as the one Spirit with Jesus that we are, see. We think that we've done the right thing, but something is lacking. Something is missing, as it was with different times in your life when you missed God and you didn't respond to the inner guidance system. I mean, we've not really allowed the anointing to lead us. And we are let right and wrong, or good and evil, or good and bad, you know, but not life, not God lead us, see. We've gone according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, see. And every one of us at that time when we go to do something, you had that small sense not to do it, and you should follow that sense, I'm telling you. And many times you may be unwilling to do something, you know, but you have the sense that you should do it. Well, what are you going to do? You're unwilling. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh doesn't want to obey the small voice of God. It doesn't want to obey the anointing within you. See? Well, I'd say just do it then and die to it, you know? A great or small blessing is going to be hidden in it, and you will see, yeah, you know, I've allowed the anointing to lead me, and you will see the good, the blessing in it, see, if you obey. Remember, the word says he has written his laws on our heart. So don't follow or go by any kind of outward law. See, the law of God, the kingdom of God is within you. The anointing is within you. You're carrying him around. You're carrying the truth. You're carrying the God himself around. You think he doesn't know how to lead you, guide you, direct you? Yeah, some people start listening to demons because they're so prone to living in the soulish realm, see? But see, when you become one spirit with him and recognize that joining together and begin to come, let the Spirit of God, your spirit come alive, energized by his spirit, you're going to walk according to that. But some people, they walk so soulishly, they allow another spirit to start talking to them. Yeah, we had one come that been involved in Bethel. We've had more than one come that have been involved in Bethel, right? And they had to have a God speak what color clothes to wear, what dress or skirt to wear that day, or pants, or what to eat that day. They had to have a word, and a demon was speaking to them, see? And we tried to tell them, listen, you don't need those simple things. God gave you a brain of what to eat and what not to eat. And if there's something he really doesn't want you to have, he'll tell you that. I mean, you know, that you have the Holy Spirit in you, and they just would not receive that. They had to have a real word on every little aspect of their life, and they were having panic problems, difficulties, and having trouble sleeping, all kinds of things, because they had to have this, which wasn't God, see? And if it's not God, you're not going to live in the peace of God, right? You can't live in the peace of God when you're going that way, because another spirit is ministering to you, and it isn't the spirit of the Lord, because you are not living from your spirit, see. And we need to learn to live from the anointing in our spirit, not from some false anointing in the mind, the soulish realm, which is the mind, will, and emotions, okay? So you got to be on guard against that. But you can't be afraid of living from the anointing, because God did give you a spirit of fear, right? Where's that coming from? And we need to be wise and test the spirit, but we don't need to live in fear of things. Remember, the word says he's written his law in our heart. So he's going to speak to you from there. And right? The others may have been types and shadows of God's tree and the old of God's truth and true law, but that's all they were. So you have a question, or you go into your inner place, your prayer closet within, and then do what the anointing says. You cannot go wrong if you learn to follow the Holy Spirit, the anointing, because the anointing is the Holy Spirit. Is God wrong? Is the way in which you should go, if the Holy Spirit is directing it, is that wrong? No. See, how many want to learn to follow the anointing today? You know, ask God to help you to be in touch with your anointing, with the Holy Spirit within your spirit, to come alive within you, that you're aware of your spirit. Many Christians are not aware of their spirit, but that's where the Holy Spirit lives. No devil can get in your spirit. They might try camping around your spirit, but they cannot get in and live in your spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not live with devil. See, we're three parts, body, soul, and spirit. The body and the soul has devil, but the spirit has no devil, because Jesus, in fact, the Bible says in 1 John, you cannot sin because the seed of God is there. See, your spirit doesn't sin, but your soul sins, and your body can sin, but your spirit doesn't sin. All right? Hallelujah. All right, to wind this up here. Ask the Holy Spirit within you to lead you now. You know, maybe you've been led a lot by your mind lately. And it's time now you need to let the Holy Spirit do the leading, the anointing within you, and to become aware that you are an anointed person and that you carry the anointing wherever you go. It says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. It doesn't say we can't grieve him, but it does say he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So listen, not unless you were to you renounce your salvation in the Holy Spirit and curse the Holy Spirit and all that, tell him to leave. And, you're not once saved, always saved. In that case, you can give up your salvation as an act of your choice and will. But who in their right mind wants to do that if you've been born again? I know people have done it, but still, why would you want to do that when you've tasted of the heavenly things and seen how good they are and how wonderful they are? But it says some will walk away. There will be a falling away. An apostasy is the word that they use there, where it says that in Thessalonians. But anyway, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you now. Okay? Let him answer and speak and lead. Know that the greater one dwells in your spirit and has said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, greater is he that's in your spirit. That's talking about the one living in your spirit, not the soul or your flesh. You know, the carnal nature is at enmity with him, with the Holy Spirit. They're at enmity. So it's not talking about, greater he that's in me than he that's in the world. They're not seeing the whole picture with that. If you just quote that, thinking that you're not going to sin because greater is he, and no demon can get in you because greater is he. It's talking about the one living in your spirit, the born-again you. The new creation part of you is your spirit. The soul has to be renewed by the word. The Bible says the renewing of the mind by the word of God. That's the mind is not born again. Okay, it's renewed by the word, but the spirit is born again, and that greater one is living in your spirit. See, so that's what that scripture means when the greater is he that's living in me than he that's in the world. Right? And the devil out there that's trying to influence your mind, trying to control your mind through the demons that are attached there, greater is the one that's in your spirit, and you have conquered the enemy through the power and the anointing that's dwelling in your spirit through the authority that he's put in you to walk in. See? And the Holy Spirit has no lack of knowledge, but we do in our mind. See? So we need the mind of Christ anointing to be manifest in our lives daily so that we can learn and grow in grace and truth And we need to practice being in tune to the anointing within us, right? Practice the presence of God. Practice the presence in our spirits and be aware of that. The glorious kingdom within us, see? The place where no demon dwells in our spirit and where the Holy Spirit and you are one. This is what we need to become aware of, see? So that we can walk in a greater victory in our Christianity. As a believer in these last days, these latter days, if we see everything being so dark, and it's going to get darker, but, you know, Jesus is going to move in the midst of all that. See, it's not over yet, okay? The gospel of the kingdom has not gone into all the world. There's going to be a move of God, mighty. And whether this Asbury has a part of that, praise God. But the important thing is it's going to happen. The gospel is going to be preached. And what happens when the gospel is truly preached? There's going to be true repentance. There's going to be signs and wonders and miracles. There's going to be an outpouring. And we need that today. We need it desperately in this world because the world is going to hell very quickly. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for moving mightily in this earth. It's not over yet, not till you say it's over, and you come in the clouds of glory at the second coming of Christ. We know there's no secret rapture. We know that there's only one return, that's the second coming, when you come in the clouds of glory and every eye should see him, and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ, Lord, too. Well, someday, too, that's going to happen. But you're coming. And we look forward to your return, Father. We look forward in the meantime to walking with you daily in the power of your anointing, in the power of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, all the fruits of your spirit within us. We look forward to walking in those things and the reality of those things. And we say to the fruit of the Spirit, come forth in me. Just say it right now. Fruit of the Spirit, manifest in me, through me. In Jesus' name, my prayer, let that love manifest, let that peace manifest, let that joy, let that faith, let that temperance. So I say no to those cigarettes, if you're smoking, that is. So you say no to that lust and that sexual sin through that temperance, if you're involved in that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you can turn through the power of the Spirit and the anointing that's in you. And those demons can be cast out and removed. Hallelujah. If you get in agreement with the Holy Spirit in you and get out of agreement and renounce those spirits, thank you, Jesus, you can be set free. Thank you, Father. We know we can. We know it's word. We know it's truth. And we've seen it happen over and over and over, and not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for deliverance tonight, shortly as we go into this time of deliverance. Father, we praise you for that as well. Praise you. Bless every listener, Father. Let them become spiritually attuned and aware of the anointing within them and walk in it more than they ever have in the days ahead. Father, we thank you for just giving them that grace, Father. In Jesus' name, we praise you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, we're moving forward in you, Lord. We're moving forward in you, Jesus. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, we'll be back in a few minutes. Do some deliverance. Tonight, and, you know, I just might want to point one thing out before we do, that if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues. Have you ever prayed in tongues for 30 minutes straight? Have you ever prayed in tongues for 10 minutes straight? You know, just pray in the Spirit. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we could do that right now, and then we could do a little bit of deliverance, but why don't we just do that right now? If you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with your prayer language where you can pray in the Spirit, because that really puts you in touch with things. If you pray in the Spirit a long time, I mean, you'd be in touch with the spiritual things, and you'd be right in there in that anointing. Amen. So I'm going to pray for those who want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit now. If you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just ask the Lord right now. Just ask Him. Say, Jesus, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to baptize me with the Holy Spirit and give me my prayer language and fill me up with power from on high. Just like the apostles, remember, they waited. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and had speaking in tongues. And, of course, how did the apostles know when the first Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He said, for they have spoken in tongues just as we have. That's how they knew they'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit as they had, because they said, hey, can any man forbid baptism these have received the Holy Spirit such as we have? For they were speaking in tongues. See, that's what the Bible says. You go read it yourself about when was it Cornelius and the Gentile first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, give you your prayer language. If you don't have your prayer language yet and haven't received that experience, and we're just going to pray right now that you will receive that. So just say, just ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit, baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and I'll pray the same thing right now, and then I'll begin to pray for you to receive it, and then I'll begin speaking in tongues, and I want you to just open your mouth and begin to speak. When I've prayed that prayer, just begin to open your mouth by faith and begin to make a noise, and He will form the words. You can't form the words, but you do make a noise as you act of faith. You open your mouth, and He said, open wide your lips, I'll fill it, right? So open up your mouth, begin to make a sound, and He will form those words, and it's the language of angels and men and angels, the Bible says. So just open up your mouth and let Him fill it. Okay? So, but if you don't, you know, want to open your mouth, then you're not going to get your prayer language that way. I mean, you got to open your mouth. You got to step out there. All right. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. I thank you for baptizing me in the Holy Spirit. I pray in tongues every day, Father, and I just desire that every believer could also be baptized in the Holy Spirit, have their prayer language to pray in tongues every day, and to worship you in the Spirit and in their language, whatever their earthly language is, but we also do it in our heavenly language as well. It says in Corinthians that we could do both. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for baptizing everyone who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and who has asked right now to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I ask that you would baptize them, and I would lay hands on them if I could. But, Lord, I pray for them right now, reaching out to them with my hand lifted out, that they would baptize each and every one who desires to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and has asked you to specifically baptize them in the Holy Spirit and give them their prayer language. Father, baptize them now with the Holy Spirit. Just right now, Father, we just thank you that they'll receive it right now. Just begin to pray in tongues. It may not sound just like me. It may just get one word, but just keep speaking it. More will come as fast as you could open your mouth, it'll begin to come out. Just fill them up, Lord. Just open up your mouth. Just receive from the Holy Spirit as he fills you. If you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit, just start speaking in tongues with me. And pray for the others who haven't been to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because there's a lot of people that listen to the broadcast later. Most people don't listen live like you're doing. We pray that those who don't listen live, they can also receive, they will also receive their baptism in the Holy Spirit for them too. Just open up your mouth. Make the noise. He'll form the words. That's the best way I could explain it. Because it's not natural. Don't think about what you're doing, because it doesn't come out of your mind. It doesn't come out of the soul. It comes out of the Spirit. See, that's where the Holy Spirit is. You're speaking in Holy Spirit language. He's praying through you. He's worshiping through you. You try to figure it out with your mind, you're not going to receive. This bypasses the mind. You can lift up your holy hands. The Bible says lifting up holy hands. Just receive the power of the Holy Spirit be released on you right now in Jesus' name. You don't have to clean yourself up first to receive. You just have to be born again. As many as receive him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God and to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is part of it. You don't have to be delivered from every demon. You just have to receive. And I pray for you in tongues right now. You know, there are many different kinds of tongues you can pray in once you receive. You can pray in warfare tongues, you can pray in worship tongues, you can pray in intercession tongues. You know, the Lord will have you pray in many different kinds of tongues when you receive the baptism and you really practice what you've been given, you use what you've been given. A lot of people, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you never hear them pray in tongues again. See, when's the last time you prayed in tongues? Well, it was a couple of years ago when I received it or whatever, you know. You're not being filled, man. You're not staying full up. You could have so much more. You know, God wants to fill you to overflowing. Yeah, and that helps, praying in the Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. I just felt impressed at that, by the anointing to pray that tonight for somebody out there who wants to receive, maybe more than one somebody, okay? But regardless, I do it for one person, you know, because it's important. And if you're not born again, that's important too. Ask Jesus Christ into your heart and turn from your wicked sins, right? And say, Jesus, come in and save me. I receive you, Lord. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. It's that simple. So it's not complicated, but people have made it complicated. All right, we're going to do some deliverance now. Spiritual blockages to receiving more of God. We're going to come against those spiritual blockages right now in Jesus' name. I bind you. I break your hold over people. A spiritual blockage. You come out of there right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Come on, all the way out. Those spiritual blockages come out of people. In the name of Jesus, it's been blocking you from going further with God, blocking you from having more revelation and understanding, blocking you from getting free in certain areas. I bind those blockages, Spirit, those spiritual blockades of demons. You come out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Be weakened by the blood. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. All the way. Keep coming. As spirits come out, it might be just phlegm coming out in your mouth. You get a lot of phlegm. Or they might be coughing, sighing, burping, yawning, spitting, you know, screaming. Just let them go. Just let them go. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Jesus' name. All the way. Come, keep coming out of there. I bind you. I bind you. I break your hold. Keep coming out of there. All those spiritual blockages right now, trying to block the things of the Spirit, trying to block the things of God. Come out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Move. Up out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Come out. Come on up out of there. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. Go, 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 go. The deaf and dumb spirit, come out. Try to keep you deaf and dumb spiritually. Come out. Come out right now, the deaf and dumb. We break the curse of deaf and dumb. Come out. Come out, all the way out, deaf and dumb. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come on, deaf and dumb. Go in the name of Jesus, all the way out. Come out, come out. Come on up out of there. Move in the name of Jesus, all the way out, deaf and dumb. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Spiritual blinding, that blindness spirit trying to blind you to the things of the Spirit. Come out, that blindness. We break the power of that blindness spirit. Come out. Come on, spiritual blindness. Come out. Come out right now. Spiritual blindness. Come out. 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 Come on, all the way out. All the way out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Spiritual blindness, come out. Works righteousness, you come out. Trying to do works. You know, the Bible says we will do works, but it's done by the Spirit of God through us, in us. It's not stuff we do of our own ability and power. You know, this works righteousness, a lot of people into works, and they could be some really good people. I know some people that are not saved, but are really good people as far as, you know, doing good things. You know, they're living from that good of the tree, and they're trying to be a really good person. But, you know, they fall short, of course, but, you know, they really do a lot of nice things for people. They really help out a lot, but you know, that's works righteousness, and it doesn't work. So get rid of it. And we command that work spirit to come out, that spirit of works, doing good works, trying to be a godly person by their good work. Come out. Come out, come out, come out. We do good works because we're a godly person, not to become a godly person. In other words, you do good work because you are godly already. You are righteous already, and it's coming as the flow of the anointing in you, see? Come out of there, all the way out. Come on, all that works righteousness, come out, 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 come out. all that doing work, trying to earn something, trying to make God pleased with you when he's already pleased with you. Come out, 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 bind you, come out of it, all the way out, all the way out. Come out that immature spirit. You come out, childish spirit. Arrested development, come out. All of you, come out. I bind you, come out. We break the curse of immaturity, stunted growth, arrested development, come out. In Jesus' name, come out of there, all the way out. That arrested development, come out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Some demons stunted your growth spiritually and stunted your growth in other areas too. It may be not just spiritually, but physically, mentally. We break the curse of that. Arrested development, childishness, come out. Immaturity, come out. Spirit of immaturity, come out, 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 out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, move in Jesus' name. You're defeated by the blood. Come out of there. I bind you. I break your hold over people. Come out now. Come out now. Come out now. The blood is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you, demons. You have to come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. That immature spirit. Come out. Come out. All the way out. That childish spirit. Reverting to childishness. When things don't go your way or when something doesn't work out, you revert to childish behavior. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. That childishness. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way up out of there. Go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Come out. Come out now. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out of there. Go. Pouting spirit. Come out. Come out, out, out. All that pouting. Come out. Come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. That spirit of poor judgment. Come out. Poor judgment. Come out. But now I'm making a poor judgment on things. Come out, in Jesus' name. All the way out. A demon makes your judgment for you, and it's a poor judgment because it doesn't turn out good. Poor judgment. Come out. All the way out. Go, go, go. All the way out. Come out, in Jesus' name. Poor judgment. I bind you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. All the way, the blood of Jesus right now against you, demons. Right now, you got to go. Keep moving. Keep moving up and out. All the way. All the way. Poor judgment. They're causing to make poor judgment, poor decisions. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Bad decisions. Come out. Come out of there. Up and out in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. All the way. All the way. All the way out. Up and out, up and out. Self-destruction, come out. Self-destruction, self-destructive spirit. We rebuke the self-destructive spirit. Come out, come out. Self-destruction, come out. Jesus' name, doing things that hurt you, come out. In Jesus' name, self-destruction, come out. Come out, come out. In Jesus' name, all the way out. Spirit of boredom, you come out too. Spirit of boredom. Come out, 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 all the way out, overeating, boredom, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out, all the way out, up and out. Go with the spirit of boredom, all the way out, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. If I were bored, I'd just go find something to do. There's always something to do. If you don't have anything to do around the house, go work and find something to do for somebody else. If you're not getting paid for it, just do something for them and help them. And they see there's needs everywhere. People, you know, do something for them to help them. All that boredom spirit, you go. But that's the spirit in the nation today. We rebuke it. All that boredom, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. Overeating, come out. Lack of control over the appetites, come out, 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 out. Eating to be eating, in Jesus' name. Eating out of boredom, all of that. Come out, come out, come out. I bind you, break your hold. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. all the way out. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Keep going. Keep going. All the way. Up and out. The blood of Jesus. Be weakened by the blood. You're defeated, devils. Keep coming out. Lack of control. Lack of control. Start drawing on your spirit of temperance, the Holy Spirit in you. Yeah, release that against your lack of control. Yeah, and as we were preaching a while ago, just start releasing the anointing, the fruit of the spirit of temperance, which is self-control. Yeah, all the way out. Spirit spouse, you come out. Come on, spirit wife, spirit spouse, come out. Come on, all the way out. Night spirits and spirit wives, spirit spouse, come out. Come out. All that spirit wife in the night comes to you. Come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out. Spirit husband, spirit wife, come out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way. I bind you. I break your hold. I break your control over the people that have that. Come out. In Jesus' name, you come out of them. In the name of Jesus, we break your control. You stop it. You stop coming in the night season. You stop tormenting. Come out. All that spirit wife. Yeah, I know people who have had sex with demons. And I know one that sent me a picture of the demon they're having sex with that appeared in the screen of their television. They didn't have the television on. It just showed there. It was a spirit that didn't even look human, of course, but kind of, but not really. So, that's the spirit that they were having sex with. And other people I've known had sex with demons that, they have real orgasms and all that stuff really goes on. And you got to get out of agreement with that, because once you get hooked on it, it's hard to break loose. So we break the curse of that and command those spirits, the spirit wife, spirit husband, to go right now in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Get out of there, all the way out. Go, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We cast you out in Jesus' name. Go all the way out in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. We send the angels against those spirits. Go right now. Get out of there. All the way out. They'll chase and persecute those demons and get rid of them. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this short deliverance tonight, but also the time of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that was for somebody or some people. And so that was important too. So we just thank you for all that you've done tonight. We give you the glory for it, and thank you for what you're going to continue to do, Father. And we give you praise and glory. Ask you to bless every listener, Father. Continue to deliver them. Continue to minister to them. Lord, we ask you to prosper them and give them jobs if they need jobs, Father, and give them finances if they need finances, that they'll have the job to get the finances. And Lord, you'll provide abundantly for them. And Lord, we thank you for ministering to their needs, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for that. Everybody say amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. See you next week. That prayer language is not necessarily what you're doing in church. It's what you do when you pray into the Lord yourself. And you can do that in church too, but when you pray out in church and you give a tongue and interpretation, that's a different thing. That's one of the gifts of the gifts of the Spirit, right? Tongues and interpretation of tongues. So, yeah, I hope that I can... We got that. I didn't make that clear well, but yeah, I want to do that. Hallelujah. Okay, so praise God. We've come to the time when we're going to say goodbye again. I appreciate y'all being here. Okay. Appreciate y'all being here tonight and appreciate your support, those who support me in prayer and financial support too. Thank you for that. Lord bless you for all that. Very precious. So praise God. Thank you guys for being in the chat room tonight. And Lord bless you, all of you. And the Lord has many good things for us ahead. So we're just going to keep looking to Him. Yeah, we know what's going on in the world, but we're looking to Jesus, and we can't forget that. That's the most important thing that we can do right now is keep our eyes on Jesus, because it's real easy to get focused on other things. Yeah, good night, brother. Good night. God bless you guys. And, keep refocusing. It's necessary many times. You have to refocus in a day because the devil wants to get your eyes off of Jesus and onto the things that are happening and onto things that in your life and in the world. We got to keep focusing on Him. Amen? Amen. That is so true. And it can be a spiritual battle sometimes to do that, but spiritual warfare is a daily thing. Spiritual warfare is a daily thing. Says the mind is a battleground that the enemy wants to try to win in, but we can't let him. In Jesus' name, we have the greater one dwelling in our spirit, so we can fight the battles in our mind from the power of the one in our spirit. Right? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, we will see you next week, Lord willing, and I believe He is, so we'll see you then. Lord bless y'all.